I would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the 54th chapter of Isaiah. And we'll begin reading in just a moment in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 1. We've been for quite a while in the 53rd chapter. And I appreciate so very much your kind remarks concerning how the Lord has spoken to your heart through His Word in Isaiah chapter 53. And I have concluded with the series I plan to give from the 53rd chapter and now bring just one message from Isaiah 54. I want you to see that the 53rd chapter continues into the 54th chapter. We have been given what I believe to be this Holy of Holies in Isaiah 53. And then in chapter 54 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." What a wonderful chapter of the Bible. I want you to mark one word. It is the first word in the first verse. Sing. Sing. Because he has suffered, we can sing. Remember, the Lord concluded for us this 53rd chapter in verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. And the Lord gives these four wonderful statements concerning the exaltation of Christ, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. Remember, no man took his life from him. He laid it down of himself. He was numbered with the transgressors. He suffered the humiliation of Calvary to bleed and die for our sins, identified with thieves, rebels, robbers, laughed at, scoffed at, cursed and mocked, identified with the scum of the earth. No way to know the depth of his humiliation. But God has given him a name which is above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then he bare the sin of many. He became sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then, of course, and made intercession for the transgressors. So he sums up this wonderful 53rd chapter of Isaiah with these four tremendous truths concerning the exaltation of Christ. And any moment, anywhere, any place on the earth, we have one who ever liveth to make intercession for us. And we can go immediately into God's presence on the merit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By his precious blood, we can enter in, and he intercedes for us. No wonder we come to the 54th chapter and God says, sing! In other words, we should burst into exaltation and singing. Now, I'm convinced that this 54th chapter is a chapter of God's restoration of Israel. But I am not convinced, as some of my dispensational friends are, and though I take that view of Scripture, I am not convinced that this is only for Israel. This is for all of us. And I'll show you something near the end of this message that lets me know this 54th chapter is not just for Israel. It's for all of us. It is for all of us. When we discuss or talk about or search in the Bible for the subject of singing, we understand that God's people have a song in their heart. He gives us a new song. The Psalms repeat the expression that he gives us songs in the night. We have one famous song in the Old Testament, the song of Moses in Exodus chapter 15. Remember, Moses and the children of Israel had been delivered through the Red Sea. And the same sea closed on the armies of Pharaoh. The enemies were swallowed up in the sea. And in chapter 15 of Exodus in verse 1, the Bible says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And on the song goes. What singing they must have done as they stood on that other shore after they'd passed through the sea and saw God give them deliverance, and they burst into song. That's what we're to do. What are we singing people if we're redeemed people? The redeemed have a song. The Lord has put a song in my heart. No doubt about it. Let's consider that song. Write it down, would you please? The song. The song of the redeemed. The chapter says, sing, O barren, thou dost not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. Thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Now, the Lord had rejected his people. He had set them aside. He tells them here of his blessing. I don't want you to be robbed of this just because you think it's only for Israel. No doubt it is for Israel, but it's for the church of the living God also. God has always had a people. His ancient people Israel, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's not only a song for Israel, it's a song for the church. It's a song for individual Christians. It's a song we can sing. And the Lord said to His barren people, His rejected, refused people, He said, I want you to know that the best is yet to come. And beloved, for every child of God, the best is yet to come. There's no doubt about it. As a matter of fact, this 53rd chapter of Isaiah, I believe, will be the song we sing in the kingdom. And when we behold the Lamb of God slain the foundation of the world, when we see our Lord as He rules and reigns, we shall sing this great 53rd chapter of Isaiah. That's right, we shall sing as we look at the Savior ruling and reigning. We shall sing and sing, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we're healed. It's a song of His suffering. The nail prints will remind us forever of the price He paid in His suffering. It's a song of His sacrifice. His death was vicarious. It was for another. He didn't die for Himself. He sacrificed Himself for us. It's a song of salvation. No doubt about that. Let me show you something from the New Testament, if you'll turn with me, please. And I love doing this, to take you from the old to the new and back to the old and back to the new. Turn with me just to one of the records given to us. In the Gospel according to Mark, if you'll turn there, please. The Lord Jesus had gathered with His disciples for the Passover and to institute what we refer to now as this memorial supper. In the 14th chapter of Mark, the Bible tells us in one of these gospel record accounts, and it's given to us, of course, in other gospel records, of what they did. We understand that when they gathered for the Passover, they would sing psalms. They would sing Psalm 115, 116, 117. And then when they were concluded, they would end with singing Psalm 118. The Bible says in Mark chapter 14 and verse 26, and when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So He has instituted this memorial supper to remember His broken body and His shed blood. And the Bible says they sung an hymn and they went out. He went down the hillside across the brook Kidron into the Garden of Gethsemane. And remember, that's where He was praying when they came for Him. They thought He would run like a thief or a criminal. They brought torches and lanterns because they thought they'd have to go into one of those caves and find Him. He could see them coming. He didn't run. He could see them coming. And He stepped out to greet them, if you remember. And when He declared, I am, they fell to the ground. And to show the blackness and hardness of our sinful hearts, when they had fallen to the ground, they got up and continued their dastardly deed to take Him, arrest Him. Peter couldn't stand it. He drew a sword and went for a man's throat and cut off his ear. And the last miracle our Lord performed there was to pick up the man's ear and reattach it to the side of his head. No doubt that facial wound was bleeding profusely, as facial wounds do. And they witnessed this miraculous thing that Christ did to reattach a man's ear and instantly be healed. But yet they still, with hardened hearts, took Him. But I want you to know this. The Bible says they sung before they went. He sung before He went. God gives us a song. And if indeed He did sing with His disciples the 118th Psalm, I want to show you just one verse in the 118th Psalm, if you'll turn there. This is part of that 118th Psalm. Verses 23 and 24. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And remember, the way the Jews organized their life, their days, The day began at sundown and would go through the night into the next morning, throughout the day, and end at sundown. So the evening was the beginning of the day. The night was divided into watches. There were certain watches in the night. A first watch, a second watch, a third watch, a fourth watch. Then the first hour of the day was from 6 to 7. 7, the first hour. 8, the second hour. 9, the third hour. When it says he was crucified in the third hour, that was not 3 o'clock, that was 9 o'clock in the morning. What I'm saying to you is he went out after 6 a.m. He went out the same day he was to be crucified. This is the way they looked at the day. And as they walked out of the room, they were singing the 118th Psalm. And our blessed Savior was singing this. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In other words, he faced the cross, the awful suffering, the travail of his soul. And as he faced it, he was singing. This is the day for which all other days were made. This is the day of our redemption. This is the day the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, was to be slain. This is the day he was to bear our iniquities. This is the day it would please the Lord to bruise him. This was the day when all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the day the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and our Lord was singing, this is the day the Lord hath made. This is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I am telling you, beloved, God has given us a song because he suffered. Our song is about his suffering. It's about his sacrifice. Praise God, it's about the salvation he purchased for us in his own blood. No wonder the Lord says, sing. Sing. And in Isaiah 54, he continues, enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. And the tent cords and the tent stakes, to enlarge the area the tent covered, the cords must be lengthened and the stakes strengthened. And the Lord said, I'm going to bless you in such a way, I'm going to enlarge you in such a way, that those who are desolate will have more children than those who are married. When you were barren and desolate, I'm going to bless you beyond measure. You'll have to lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. I'm going to bless you in such a wonderful way. For thou shalt break forth on the right and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. God is telling his people they will declare his message, and the nations will hear the message, and nations will hear the gospel. There's a great harvest of souls ahead of us, beloved. We've got something to sing about. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. Let's not limit this just to Israel and their future blessing. Let's remember that God wipes all our past away. Amen. Let's remember what the prophet Isaiah said in the 38th chapter, in the 17th verse. For peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered me from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Aren't you glad your sins are gone? And God said, I'm going to cause you to forget all of that. What a wonderful Savior we have, and he's given us a song. A song. And the second thing I want you to see, not only the song, but the small moment. Notice how God writes this to us. Verse 5, for thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. A dark hour, a dry, barren time. You and I know that we've been a blessed people. We thank God for the harvest of souls we've seen. We've seen God build this ministry. When the Lord Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they began to give answers. Then he said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter stepped out and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He didn't say, "You'll build my church." He didn't say, "I'll build your church." He said, "I will build my church." Some people may think, "Well, we've got the right pastor and he's built it up." No, 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 that's not it. Our work is not to build. Our work is to obey. It's God's work to build. And let's just pause to praise him that the Lord has built it up. Humanly speaking, we want more. We want to see more of God's blessing, don't we? There's still more lost people around us than ever. We must get the gospel to them. But this is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Let's continue to give him the glory for it. But I bring you to this statement. The Lord says to his people, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer." God says, when you think of my withdrawing my blessing, when you think of me setting you aside, when you think of me not blessing you, he said, "It's just a small moment." Now, when you're going through that dry, barren time, that refusing time, that trying time, it seems anything but a small moment. But from God's perspective, he says, it is a small moment, the small moment. Now, we understand historically for Israel that God set them aside. We understand the captivity of the Assyrians and the captivity of the Babylonians, the northern kingdom going into Assyrian captivity, and later the southern kingdom going into Babylonian captivity. We understand the people being taken out of the land and then coming back, the remnant coming back. We understand God's allowing that to happen in the times of the Gentiles and the people now in our generation coming back to the land. And we know that the future of Israel is brighter than anything in their past. We understand that from what we read in the Bible. But in application, in principle, I want us to think about the small moment. This isn't just for Israel. It's for all of us. And when we pass through those small moments, when we know that we don't have his blessing, we don't have what we long to have from God, remember that God desires to bless us. He desires to show kindness to us. He passionately bends over the balconies of glory and longs to pour out his blessing upon us. And so let's remember, "If my people, which are called by my name," he says, "shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Could it be that God's allowing us to pass through this period of crisis, perplexity, misplaced confidence? We see the stage for the Antichrist being assembled before our very eyes. I honestly think the four horsemen of the apocalypse, we shall begin to see some of that, even though it's to take place later. We shall see some of that. We're already witnessing the spirit of the Antichrist. We're already seeing the world's enamorment with people. It seems that policy is not what they're interested in. It's just they're just enamored with a person. I would not dare say that I'm speaking of the Antichrist, but this spirit of Antichrist is at work in our land. What are we to do in this small moment? We're to plead with God for His blessing. And we're to sing. Don't lose your song. I want you to listen. Don't lose your song. You can think about your troubles and the troubles of this world so much until you're overcome. Don't lose your song. Because Christ has suffered and bled and died and been buried and has risen from the dead and has ascended on high and ever liveth to make intercession for us. We can sing in the night. Don't lose your song. Even if we pass through a small moment of darkness, don't lose your song. It is a small moment compared to all God is going to do in His blessings. It's just a small moment. The Bible says, for this, verse 9, is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. God made a promise in Noah's day that He would not destroy the world in His wrath by water again. God made that promise. And He's saying, I'm making this as Noah's day. I'm making this covenant with you. What will it be, Lord? He says, that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. He affirms it by saying, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Aren't you glad God keeps His word? He wants to bless us. In our prayers, we're not attempting to get God to come away around to our way of thinking. We're trying to know the will of God so that we could come around to God's way of thinking and to live our lives in harmony with the Lord. Remember those small moments you passed through. Some of you are going through those trying moments now, aren't you? Keep singing. Keep singing. You've got salvation, keep singing. And then there's a third thing in this chapter, and this is why I believe this is for all of us. Not only the song and the small moment, but the servants of the Lord. Allow me to read from verse 11 through the end of the chapter. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncle and all thy borders of pleasant stones. What a sweet, precious verse, verse 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. God has everything that our children need. I long for the day when our children do not live in a world of war, wounds, and torment. God says He has for our children a world of peace. This is not some figment of our imagination, friends. This is a promise of God's Word. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. In other words, the Lord said, I'm not going to raise up someone against you. He allowed that to happen in the past. There's coming a day when that'll never happen again. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, that bringeth forth an instrument of his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. And now I bring you to why I believe this is for all of God's people. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Not just Israel, but for all the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Are you a servant of the Lord? Are you? Are you a servant of the Lord? God has made precious promises to us. He has made precious promises to us. What are you going to do in days of turmoil and darkness? What are you going to do in these small moments of God's wrath? What are you going to do? Some people go out and get drunk. Some people turn to drugs, alcohol. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when the clouds darken? What are you going to do when the newscast people say things like one national news person said, a lady said, am I the only person that wants to go home and climb under the bed? I'm so frightened. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you see the wrath begin to roll? What are you going to do when you see the assembling of prophetic things and you know things like the Secretary of Treasury making a statement that he thinks a one world economy would be a good idea and then 24 hours later changes his mind? He was told to change his mind. Quieten down about that. Not a good time for it. And these prices that arise and then settle down and arise and settle down. If you take money from your pocket, you're going to find a watermark on the money that you hold so that there can be placed on the new bills that have been printed something that will make one world currency out of it. What are you going to do when you start putting the pieces together and you know what's going on in the world? What are you going to do? I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to rejoice and sing because my redemption draweth nigh. I want to sing. Why? Because God has given us a song. And He's promised these precious things to the servants of the Lord. May I suggest to you in your home that you turn your home into a place of worship and you let your children know that they don't have to worry and fret, that God is with us. May I tell you that I owe God everything, but I don't owe Him any tithe. I've been a practicing tither all of my adult life, and I have the promise of God that in the worst of economic conditions, that God is going to bless me and open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing I can't withhold. He's going to rebuke the devourer. I want you to know that my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now you can worry and fret all you want to. You can act like you've lost your mind. You can act like God died yesterday. It's all up to you now. Or you can keep your eyes on Jesus and sing. And the Lord wants His children to keep their eyes on Jesus and sing. No wonder He continues the 53rd chapter. This great Holy of Holies with the suffering, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. And He goes right into chapter 54 and says, now sing. Sing. We have a song to sing. Let's bow in prayer, may we?